Hello, everybody. Welcome to my talk. Last time I talked to you about the very early history of chiptune music. Maybe some of you remember. This time I will talk about the future of chiptune. For those of you who don't know me, hi, I'm Utz. I make chiptune since 2004 under the name of Illich Project. And I write a lot of sound drivers for old school platforms, for 8 and 16-bit platforms, also known as music engines. And I'm the author of Houston Tracker, which is a music software for TI, Texas Instruments, graphing calculators. Okay, so what's a tracker? Well, for some of you, the trackers are those nasty things that violate your privacy on the internet, right? That's not what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about a type of music editor. Trackers are the de facto standard in music composition for chiptune. They usually have a text-centric UI. It looks a bit like a spreadsheet versus a graphical UI as you would get in a digital audio workstation. They represent time flow vertically as opposed to horizontally in most normal music software. And they have fixed time units as opposed to variable time units like you would have in sheet music or in MIDI. Traditionally, trackers are native, which means they run on the target hardware. But in the last two decades, we are seeing more and more cross-development trackers. So you run a tracker on your PC, but you target some old hardware. Right. So that's what a tracker looks like. This is the one that popularized the term tracker. This is Ultimate Sound Tracker by Carsten Obarski, written in 1987. That's one of the first ones. Runs on Amiga natively. And this is an example for a modern cross-development tracker. This is Famitracker, which targets the NES, or Famicom, as it's known in Japan. And it runs on PC. Right. So, chiptune trackers today. Well, there are literally hundreds of them. For C64 alone, the high-voltage music editor collection lists 81 trackers. And that's missing several ones that came out over the past few years. And it's also missing the four or so cross-development ones, just to give you an idea. But what most of these have in common, they usually target one engine, so one specific sound driver on one specific platform. And there are some exceptions to this. One is DefoMask, that's a popular cross-development tool which targets several systems, but still can target only one specific driver on these systems. And there's also OneTracker, which comes from the 1-bit scene, which is the, yeah, say, sub group of chip music that I'm most active in, which can target any sound driver on any platform, but it has a very limited UI, so for some things it's not very practical. So because of this situation, the problem is, what do we do if we have a new sound driver? Well, basically you're out of luck, because most existing trackers cannot help you with that. But sound driver design is actually a field that's quite active in retro computing, like especially the demo scene. There are quite a few new drivers that come out each year. And there are quite a few ones, yeah, which have no editor. And then you end up doing things like you have an old tracker for a few for a part of the music, and then you have some iPhone app where you add another part and you bring it to, together somehow. Not an ideal situation. Also, the point is, many existing trackers could actually be improved. And that's maybe not so much true for the newer native ones. Like SidWizard, to name an example, is a very advanced tracker that runs natively on Commodore 64. But quite a few of the cross-development ones, in my personal opinion, they could be improved. For some of them, the UI looks like it's coming straight from a native platform. But more importantly, very few of the cross-development trackers actually make use of the possibilities that you would have on PC. Like, for example, you would want to have auto-optimization to get down your data sizes. You might want to have tools that would aid composition, like you would like to draw graphical envelopes, or maybe you want to have support for alternative tunings, something like that. And it's something that's pretty much absent in trackers as we have them, chiptune trackers as we have them at this moment. There are some exceptions, like FamiTracker is the one that I showed earlier, is actually quite advanced, has some graphical envelopes. Or TiaTracker, that's a fairly recent one that targets the Atari 2600, does some sort of optimization on the back end. But in general, yeah, why is this? Why don't we have any good advanced trackers? Well, the answer is writing a good tracker is very, very hard. So I've written a few sound drivers, and I can tell you that, yeah, it takes a couple of days to write one if you kind of know what you're doing, if you don't start from scratch. I think 3 to 4 days you can write a nice sound driver. To write a tracker, especially one that runs on PC, is going to cost you at least 3 to 4 months, and then you have a very basic, very simple one that's definitely not good. For example, FamiTracker, the one that I showed earlier, has been in development for 15 years, and still our people are asking for new features and so on. So, well, what do we do with that? Where do we go from here? So, here's my plan. Step one, write a compiler that translates a standardized module format into arbitrary output formats based on rules specified in a config file. And step two, write a tracker based on that compiler and make it really good. And a tracker will be called BinTracker, and it will be a cross-development tracker running on PC, obviously. So what to expect from BinTracker? Well, first of all, I have these five points here. Originally, I gave this talk at a chiptune meeting, and I had it very clickbaity. It was like five points to define the future of chiptune or something. I'm not going to do that. But OK, here are the 5 points. So number one, all-in-one. BinTracker is an all-in-one solution. That means you can target any platform, any sound chip, any engine in one powerful editor. And this is possible due to having a Turing-complete compiler that can perform any conversion task from a standardized input format to arbitrary output. And the emulation of this thing, because for a chiptune editor you need emulation if it runs as a cross-dev tool, that will be provided by MAME, this huge suite of emulators. So basically everything that works in MAME can be supported in BinTracker. Number two, the tracker should be customizable. And the key phrase here is adapt the editor to your needs, not the other way around. Which means the entire look and feel of the tracker can be changed via config files. There's a fully customizable color scheme. You can change the fonts and everything. You can even change the placements of the different parts of the UI, and of course you can change all the key bindings. Moving on to more important stuff. Digital audio workstation features. As I mentioned before, I would like to have graphical envelopes. I would want to automate parameters. But most importantly, some people don't actually like trackers. So maybe we could have a piano roll. Yeah, why not? So yeah, as I mentioned, envelopes, automate stuff. What we need is a solution for presets and patches. I mean, you don't want to start constructing your instruments from scratch every time. So my idea here is to have a database for storing these kind of things and interface with that. Well, so, and another feature that people commonly associate with digital audio workstations, which I put into a separate point because I think it's important enough to do that. There should be plugins. And okay, so what would these plugins be? So for example, how about project management? So a typical thing when you compose a chiptune, you start, and then you want to try out something where you're not exactly sure if it's going to work. So you save your file that you have at the moment, and then you save it under a different name, and you try out something, and you save that, and maybe you try out another thing, and you end up with a huge mess. So my idea is that there should be a plugin that supports version control. And yes, so there will be there will be Git integration, basically. So no more mess. And if we have version control, we can also have online collaboration. That's a thing that nowadays happens more and more often. People are collaborating online on tracks and write tracks together. And with version control, we can support this within the software. Totally different thing. A lot of people are into algorithmic composition. I don't know of any tracker that supports algorithmic composition at the moment. I would like to have this in my tool. Also like microtonal scales, maybe support for harmony theory things. I don't know where to take this this melody. Computer, please, you give me some suggestions, right? This kind of thing. Also, conversions between different formats and import from like MIDI, MML, maybe even from Lilypond should happen via plugins. In essence, so we have endless possibilities with that. I'm just picking a few that are important to me and that might happen sort of soonish. But generally, the point here is okay, and this is the feature that is most dear to me, and this is one for the hackers, right? So, in BinTracker, you can hack your tracker. Of course, it will be open source. The tracker is written in Scheme, which might not be to everyone's liking, but we're here at this vintage computing festival, so how much more vintage than a Lisp dialect can you get, right? And I think it's well suited because like it has a very minimalist syntax. It's very easy to pick up, even though it's a bit unusual. Anyway, it's my tool of choice for the moment. But anyway, BinTracker is programmable at runtime, which means you can change pretty much any aspect of BinTracker while BinTracker is running, which means you can program BinTracker in BinTracker. And I'll show you in a minute what that means, right? But first of all, let's talk about the current state of the project. Like, this is a project I've been working on for 2.5 years now. I did a prototype in 2017, which was written in C++, and it turned out that it was too limited for what I wanted to do, and also it was quite buggy. So eventually I threw away that code and I started again to implement it in Scheme. And I'm pretty much working on it daily whenever I have the chance to do so. But now at this point, I think it has progressed far enough that I can actually talk about it publicly. So where are we at? The core library, the compiler that I talked about that translates standardized input into arbitrary output. Prototype is done and works. It's Turing complete. Well, it's Scheme, so actually it's Lambda calculus, but as you know, you can implement a Turing machine in Lambda calculus and the other way around. So I think that's close enough. And I am now working on the GUI. Started working on it a couple of months ago. I've been pretty busy in the meantime, so there's maybe not as much progress as people might expect. But anyway, I want to take my time with it. I want to make sure it stays minimal and elegant and still easy to pick up for people who are used to other trackers, but at the same time, you know, supports all the powerful features that I was talking about. So I expect at least three, four months more work for that. Okay, so this is what it looks right now. Sorry, I can't zoom it much more than this. If you've ever seen a tracker, looks pretty much like your average tracker. You have your patterns over here. You have your sequence over to the other side. Time runs vertically. All that good stuff. There's some interesting things to note here. The for example, you can see there in the sequence, there are three channels. The funny thing is that the driver that this targets doesn't have three channels, it only has two. But this kind of thing is virtual in BinTracker, so you can have it in any way that you want. I could also configure it to do the two channels, or I could actually configure the sequence so it has only one channel, which is a popular way of doing it in some trackers. I could also configure it that there is no sequence at all, and it happens automatically. So yeah, these kinds of things are possible already. But okay, I want to talk about this thing down here, of course, because this is my baby, right? So just to show you, this is a fully working live programming system. You can do basic things like this. You can also, of course, interact with the GUI. Let me show you an example of that. There we go. The GUI is implemented in TK, by the way, if anybody was wondering. And you can, of course, interact with the compiler with the underlying library. Like so. So yeah, that was a quick demonstration of things where they are now. A lot of work left, obviously. Need to finish the GUI. Like that's the next step. The edit system needs to be built in. Also, key handling is not complete at the moment. Next thing will be the emulation backend. Basically, that's the bridge to MAME. MAME has a Lua console built in, and BinTracker is going to talk with the Lua console via pipe. So yeah, I've tried that, and it works in principle. I just need to figure out the specifics of that. And after that, I'm going to start working on the plugin system. Again, I have some plans for that, but it's nothing set in stone yet. And after that, I want to extend the core library. Like, as I was saying, it is already Turing complete, and so technically it can do everything, but it needs more abstractions to make more things more convenient for end users or for people who write sound engines and would like them to be supported in BinTracker. So yeah, once these steps have happened, then you'll probably see the first public beta, and you'll gradually see lots of stuff being added. Well, at this point, BinTracker needs you. Like, if you have any suggestions, if you have any questions, if you have feature requests, ideas, please send them to me. Let me know. I would very much like to hear about it. Also, please spread the word. That's why I'm doing these talks right now, because I want to involve more people in this project. So please spread the word. Soon also, there's going to be things like testing, and people can start contributing code, but as I was saying, I would like to get it to a state where I kind of know what I'm or what things are going to look like before I release a public beta. Also, there is going to be a Kickstarter once I have the public beta out for adding all the advanced and super cool features. Right, so that pretty much concludes my talk. If you're interested in this project, this QR thing will take you to a newsletter sign up. So please sign up. And other than that, thank you for your patience and attention. Right. Are there any questions?
So, first thing is, congratulations for a project. That seems really, really interesting. And
thanks.
Talking about having this one, like talking about having this like one intermediate representation for all the sound chips, sounds like to me like the chiptune equivalent of what LLVM basically does, like for different compilers and like different systems. So, do you already have any system that you can target with your development version, or is it still in like in development?
I can target Z80 based machines at the moment. I have this custom assembler needs to be extended with other CPUs. But basically anything that's Z80 based and that's not too complex works already. Like you can use this compiler as a standalone thing. Also, there's documentation. If you go to the BinTracker website, there's actually already quite a bit of documentation about that compiler thing.
Another follow-up question would be, have you already considered that this could basically be the bridge or like the solution to bring trackers to platforms that still haven't had, let's say, homebrew or like, yeah, that still haven't had homebrew trackers made for that, like the Saturn SCSP or like even arcade systems like the Namco sound chips?
Very much so. Like this is actually my main reason why I conjured this up, because I work with a lot of more obscure systems, and yeah, as you say, it's a problem on many of the more of the underdog systems, so to speak. That there are basically no tools for editing sound whatsoever. So yeah, that's one of the main motivations for doing this actually. I'm not trying to compete. Like, for example, a lot of people ask for, will there be FM support for like Sega and whatnot? Yeah, there will be FM support eventually, but my priority actually are these smaller platforms. Right. Well, if there are no more questions, then thank you very much.